watch this video, beyond, Lord, that you brought them here, Father, to see the goodness of God, Father, to see your miracles, to see and hear the testimonies of what you do. And Father, I thank you, Father, for this young group of musicians, Father, that love to worship. I thank you for the people that are here. I thank you, God, that your anointing is here. And we just thank you, Lord, that you will bless everyone in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 This crazy trip. How do you pick this up? Oh, yeah. Okay. We are modifying everything here. Next time I'll have mics for us to go to the thing. But is that good, David? Talk about this crazy trip that I just took to Argentina. Don't know if those that know this, but I almost died. Yeah, not even landing yet. And it was messed up. I don't pay for the cheap airlines. No, I wasn't on a cheap airline, but it was close enough to be cheap. I won't mention their name, Ivanica. I love you. they were the best thing. And then it was a good flight because I was able to buy like the upgrade. Like, it's not first class, but they kind of make it look like first class. I buy the $100 ticket, I get a big old seat, but no service. You got to buy all the food on the plane, but it's okay. I had a big seat to sit there. But we're coming into Buenos Aires, and you know, this is a flight that's overnight. We're going to be at Buenos Aires at 4 a.m. in the morning. Well, there's a storm that hits Buenos Aires. A storm. And that storm was so bad. And I'll tell you, something I learned in life. You pay extra, yes, to have like a flying United, United, Delta, KLM, Lufthansa, you know, these kind of places to take you overseas because of these long flights and stuff. You pay a little premium for a reason. The pilots, it's worth the extra $200, $300 because that pilot knows what to do. Most of United and most of the American flights like United and the American Airlines, United and Delta, those kind, they're all like former military, so a majority of them. So they know how to handle some crazy crisis out there. Boy, this guy was not, I don't know. We're coming right in, about to land. I see the storm. I can see it outside. The plane's doing this. The plane's doing this. And I'm like, and he's trying to land? I'm like, Lord. I go, Lord, I don't know what this guy's doing. He don't know how to fly his plane. He's putting too much yaw in one way and the other way. You have a pedal that you press, and he's trying to compensate, but I can see the runway. And we're like this. And I'm like, man, abort, abort. So I'm going to tell you, and everyone watching this, I'm going to tell you this. You tend to think, right, a life situation like that. And I start thinking of my wife, and I start thinking of my baby girl. And I thought about my boys, yes, but I thought about my baby girl. And I'm like, no, man, I don't want no one else, you know, taking care of my baby. Right? I'm her daddy. Right. She ain't gonna live without her daddy. And I said, no. You know, those thoughts start to come to your mind. I said, hey, get away.
That's right.
Get back. This will not be my end. I said that out loud. This will not be my end.
Wow.
I go, and I'm sorry for any language I used, but I said, you stupid pilot. I mean, stupid, not bad. I said, you stupid pilot. Get this plane under control now. I tell everybody this. You may be in a crisis one day, and I said this last time. There's a roar that's inside you. Now, my roar sounds stupid and idiot a lot sometimes, but but it works. So, and it's like, get this plane under control now. And that plane perfectly lined up, aligned. And the pilot, you could tell his voice is all shaky. We're gonna go. He said in Spanish. So in Spanish, you sound really bad. In English, oh, this is the captain. We can't land in Buenos Aires. I'm like, duh. I mean, there's like a hellstorm going down there. We can't land. We're gonna go to Cordoba, and we'll be there, and we'll figure it out from there. So, and I know Argentina. I'm like, man, it's an hour away. I go, that is a 9-hour bus ride. I'm supposed to be in Argentina on this day. And I'm like, oh, anyway, all that went through, took us to a hotel. We probably got like 6 hours to rest, and we had no communication, got back to the plane. Now, this is mission trips. Let's say you say, oh, it looks beautiful. Oh, I want to go. No, you got to get ready. You got to be tough. You got to be ready for all crazy stuff. But God took care of me. The devil didn't want me there. The devil didn't want me there. Finally got to my hotel. I was supposed to be at 4 a.m., right? I got to my hotel at 1 a.m. the next day. Wow. So I got maybe 6 hours, 4 hours sleep, maybe 4 or 5 hours sleep. And I had to get back to the airport to go where I'm supposed to start preaching. And then get to the place. You have to get through there early. Then get through to the place and fly there. So that's 2 hours. I got to sleep a little on the plane because I was on Aerolíneas Argentina. That is part of Delta. And that's, you could tell the grade of pilots and everything. The plane is so different. And, you know, United, forgive me. Hey, it was your partner that did this. Your alliance did this to me. And then I'm still trying to fight for my miles. They say that flight never existed. I go, it existed because I was on there. I'm getting my miles. No matter what, I'm going to get my miles, buddy. I almost died. You should triple my miles.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so we get to Salta. It's about an hour, maybe 2 hour flight. And then we go drive for 3 hours. So that's what mission trips is about. But let me tell you, I want to talk to you tonight. I always talk about igniting faith. Amen. Everybody knows me, Igniting Faith, my book over there, Igniting Faith. Some guy complaining on the internet about why I'm selling a book about igniting faith because Jesus never sold a book. I'm like, well, how do we know? How do we know? But anyway, we sell our experiences and try and build faith. That's it. I don't even reply to crazy comments. I used to, and there's like a war going back and forth. So I just like ignore them. Like, whatever. You know, I just leave you in God's hands. Okay. But anyway, I want to call tonight's sermon Raising Faith.
Amen.
Because, you know, igniting faith means you already have faith, right? That means your faith is ready to go and something's going to happen because you know God can do something. But imagine going to a place, and let me read you the scripture. You're going to find this in John 6:26. A little bit of verses we got to do here. In 6:26. This is, it says, and Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I need some light. Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perished, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Remember that. God has sealed Jesus. Then they said unto Jesus, verse 28, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? I love this answer. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. So these people, remember all the stories that you read in the Bible of being fed the fish and the loaves, being fed the fish and the loaves. Even Jesus at one time, his disciples said, hey, let's go in and send them home. You know, it's late. And then Jesus looked at the crowd, still kept staring for a minute and said, no, they haven't eaten. He knew that they weren't coming to him for the miracles. He knew that they weren't coming to him to digest what he had for faith. But they wanted to just digest bread, get a free meal. Praise God. Who knows who might get better free meal? You know, coupons, whatever. Do that. But I don't give them free. Those are always good. But let me tell you this. Jesus did not give up on them. Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's easy for us Bible scholars to say, oh, they didn't believe in God and he fed them. No. He kept feeding them and kept feeding them. And he knew this, and the scripture proves it. He knew they did not come because the blind were healed. They did not come because the deaf were healed. They didn't come because he raised those that were completely in terminal illness on the floor. He did not do that just for that. He didn't just bring, they weren't just coming for that. They were coming because they knew that they would be fed physically. But this is what Jesus said. This is what I'm talking about, raising faith. Because Jesus thought, I don't care. I'll feed them 100 times. I'll feed them 1,000 times. I'll keep going and keep doing what I do until I can raise faith in them. And then faith started to happen when they said, what else? What shall we? How can we work this work of God? And he said, believe on him that he sent. believe on the work of God. And he's pointing to himself. Today, I want to tell you this. We need to believe on what God has set in front of us, which is the miracles that Jesus is doing. I seen a church host one day, you know, if you just go for miracles, you're never going to receive. But let me tell you this. You're never going to see the full Bible if you just want miracles. Let me tell you, you can't have the full Bible until you see miracles. Until you're seeing miracles, you're not seeing the full Bible. The miracles are what God is about. Healing is what God's about. I think a lot of people give up on it because they don't see it. A lot of people don't want to think about it or talk about it because they're not seeing it in their ministry. Someone talked to me on one of these chats, Facebook, I think, some minister in I think they're in Oklahoma or Tennessee. No, they're in Tennessee. They said, well, I'm not impressed because I was just posting pictures and, you know, praising God for the miracle that happened in all the places I went to. And he goes, well, I'm not impressed. And he said, if you go to a children's hospital, you heal all those people, then I'll be impressed. So how would you answer that? I mean, how would you? Honestly. So I just put, I'm a little smart aleck, by the way. I just put, I'm only about my Father's business. I'm only here to please God. I'm not here to please man. And I only can do what my Father tells me to do. Jesus didn't heal everybody, you know, anyone that needs sickness, but he healed who God sent him to heal. And he said, I can only do what the Spirit reveals to me. I go, you need to believe that God can do what God says in his word. I think that's what Jesus was saying to these people. You need to believe I'm here. I'm who he sent. I am the work of God. You know, a lot of people say, well, you've been to Argentina like 3 times, 4 times. Go to another country. I can't yet because I'm raising faith. People are in this place that have never heard me preach and never seen the miracles. So maybe one miracle would change their heart. And I tell you what, the first place we went to was called Lajita. Sounds like fajitas. I was excited till they didn't have any fajitas. But I was like, man, I'm getting hungry just going there. And you know what? I hate to be a little, you know, prima donna on things, but I need a nice hotel. I mean, you're traveling, you're going through dirt, dust, and you're probably gonna get all that dirt and dust coming back from the church. You need a nice place to clean everything and sleep on a good bed. They were taking me to some little rat motel. I'm like, oh, sweet Jesus, turn the fuck. They go, well, Pastor wants to know if you would consider this one. I go, listen, I come here at my own cost. I even pay for my own hotel, if need be. I have sponsors. They help, and God brings in the money. I go, so I told Pastor this last time I paid for this hotel that the next time I come back, I need to only stay in this hotel. I go, we don't have the budget for that. I go, I don't care about your budget. I got money. Take me there. And I said, how much do you need? And how much do we need? They said, it'd be like $100. I'm like, yes, get me my room. So I found out they don't take American dollars. I had to go get it to exchange it. But yeah, it's a formality. And so I told the pastor this. Look, I'm not trying to push your budget. I'm not trying to take advantage of you. But this is what I need and I expect. And it's my comfort that I'm be working hard. I need to rest well. So I'll pay for the difference. Whatever you were going to give for that, if you want to call it a hotel, for that place over there, then you go ahead and just, you go and give me that in my offering or give it to me separately. It doesn't matter, but I'm going to pay for my hotel. I'm going to stay here. And you know what? They were fine with that. Rested. And the first place I preached, it's in Lajitas. I preached there last year. Right? And I know you're thinking of fajitas. I can see that in your mind. Get that girl some fajitas. No, but I'm telling you, I preached here and I'm like, you know what? It don't look as full as the first time, but it was still filled, but it was like overfilled. And I kept preaching and preaching and preaching. And I couldn't start where I'm starting here with you tonight. I couldn't just jump in and talk about miracles because they don't understand it. And last time I remember I had a difficult time, but it was mainly my translator that he's like, you want me to translate that? I'm like, yes, you're the translator. And he says everything. Now I'm not fluent in Spanish and I cannot even say I know what happened. Half the people are saying, but I understand when I'm preaching because it's been translated so many times. I can understand what they're saying. And I'm like, no, say it this way. And so I thank God for that ear, but at least I can do that. Because they know that's not right. Because see, I can talk to you too long. Blue or red in the face, it don't matter. If you don't know what I'm saying, it isn't going to help you.
Right.
except for the one instance in Mexico when my translator was depressed and we're just saying, because his girlfriend was another guy right there, they spoke up, and every few minutes he'd say, Gloria Dios. And I'm speaking, and every few minutes he'd say, Gloria Dios. I'm like, come on, dude, translate the sermon. And 100 people got saved. I don't know how they got saved, but 100 people got saved that night. The Holy Ghost just changed their hearts. But so I try to start where I would start, like on a healing service. And one of my, I have like 9 or 10 good different healing services I use in the area. But then I said, no, Lord, you're taking me all the way to the beginning. So I went all the way to a sermon I have called Jesus the Healer. And I talked about, why is Jesus the Healer? Why do we call Jesus the Healer? And I talked scripture after scripture, simple lesson after simple lesson, simple testimony after testimony. And like, Lord, I can, when I preach, and those that preach understand this as well, you can feel the flow. Yeah. And when you're preaching, and it's just like you're punching air, and you're trying to find out something's not giving, you keep changing and change it. When I went to that lesson, everything flowed. So I stuck with it. And I preached and preached, and guess what? When I did the altar call, I said, I'm going to do the altar call. I've learned this. Never underestimate the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I don't care if the pastor tells you, oh, they're okay, they're all saved. I'm still going to do an altar call because he's not God.
That's right.
He doesn't know everyone and everybody that's visiting as well. It's a big crowd. Half the building, 350 people, half the building gave their heart to Jesus. I'm talking like if you drew the front line, well, most people, like my friends here, are all in the front. People that probably don't come to church regularly or this is their first time, usually sit in the back. They hardly sit in the front. Well, right down the middle of the church, everyone in the back gave their heart to Jesus. I was like, oh man, fajitas. I mean, fajitas is good.
Yes.
I was like, oh man, that's good. So I preach and stuff. And then the next night, I preached again. I'm like, Lord, I thought I can go into like something else, something a little more deep. But I didn't know that these weren't church people. I didn't know that. I only knew that the church had gotten smaller since I last seen them. And I preached. And again, guess what? Half the building gave their heart to Jesus. So it could have been another group or the group that was here another day or couldn't come that day and came the next day. But I can tell you right now that an entire church gave their heart to Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. The over 400 people, because the second night was bigger. The second night's always bigger. And that was amazing to see what God did. That was amazing to see how God just saved. That was the first service we went to.
Amen.
But let me tell you, God is good.
Yes, amen.
God is good. You see, where's my handkerchief? Here it is. The year before I was in Lajitas with a bad translator, and I told everybody for the second service, it was a tough crowd to preach as well. I didn't know they're that mixed in faith as far as believers and not believers. I said, bring something. Now I teach on Acts 19:11-12 about the Bible says God did special miracles by the hands of Paul. That he brought handkerchiefs and aprons from his body to those that were sick and sickness left, to those that had demons and demons departed. Right. Okay. I taught that. I said, tomorrow night I'm going to teach this sermon, the one I just told you about. And I said, I need you to bring something for your family. Bring something and put it on the altar. Good Lord. That day, on that Sunday, the next night I preached, it's like a mountain of clothing on top of the stage.
Wow.
I was like walking by. You can get this day. I was walking by and I was like, laying on top of it. And I was walking by, then I was laying on top of it. And then I got to the end over there. I went to go to it, and the person at the front was trying to help me with the stuff to get it organized. And they dropped the whole mountain on top of me. And I'm like laying underneath it. I snow angeled my way out. And I blessed it. But did you know that there was a lady in that service? A lady, an aunt of a young niece. The baby had been given 3 days to live. Three. That she came there, she put an article inside that whole bundle. I don't know what she had. And honestly, I don't know. Maybe it was pajamas, maybe it was a t-shirt, maybe it was just, good God, I seen Shawnee's too. I'm like, I hope those are washed. I am not gonna put anything in my hand. Okay, there you go. I'm like, I have no idea. But anyway, I doubt it was those. But she took it to this little girl. The doctor said there was a disease in her, that it was eating her lungs, eating her liver, eating her, everything in her body. Her heart was being eaten. Everything in her body was being eaten. and she had only 3 days to live. Took whatever was the article that she brought to us for prayer. And we have this on video. And in fact, it had like 2,800 or 3,000 views already on this video. And took that to her. The next day after she had the article closed, the next day, the doctor looked at her again. Said, these are not the lungs I looked at. These are not the kidneys. I looked at. This is not the heart I looked at. Wow. He had the imagery of both of them. If this is deteriorated and dying, this is new. And Jesus. Strong. And he goes, I did the blood work several times. There's no bacteria in her blood. She's no longer sick.
Thank you, Jesus.
I've been 1 year, she's living. So one day, supposed to die, 3 days to live. Next day, healed, and she's a healthy baby. We've got a picture of her on our website if you see it. God is good.
Yes,
God is good. So you go to places you don't even, you know, you don't even know we should be going there a second time. But to me, going to that La Jitas was really a place that I was raised in faith. It wasn't something that I can come in and just teach on miracles real quick and pray for the line. You have to, as a minister, as a missionary, if you do missionary work, you have to be able to adjust the way you preach, one thing. Other thing is you gotta see what the Spirit is doing.
Right.
You gotta see how the Spirit is working. You know, I can pray for 1,000 people and God will heal them. He does. And then this trip he did. But not everybody receives the same way. And you got to see what the faith in the room is doing. So I know Jesus, because he did different ways. When he prayed for people, he comes in for, sometimes he'd ask, what do you need? And they say, I'd like to be made whole. And he would make them whole. The other person, he would come to him and says, if you, you know, by your faith, you're made whole. He didn't pray the same way for everyone. There's different ways he would pray for them. I think because he knew that they would receive in certain ways. So when you're raising faith, you have to kind of see what's going on. And I know that when I was in that place and seeing so many miracles happen after I preached, but the main miracle is all the people being saved. I was ready to close right there. Like, okay, curtain call, that's it, we're done. Half the building one day. And then at the second night, I was like, oh, it happened again. Another half. So I know in that situation, we're raising faith. Just like Jesus said, believe. I am the work. I am he that God has sent. Believe in the work that God has sent. So when I look at the miracles that was done out there, it is amazing to see how many people were healed in so many places. It was amazing. It wasn't an easy trip. You know, we had the flight. I knew after that flight, oh, that's going to be a tough one. But you have to be strong mentally. A lot of people want to do missions. A lot of people want to do. Facebook had made everybody a missionary, to be honest. And not everybody's supposed to be a missionary. God has called those to do that. And if you're called, then God is going to do great things with you. You're not going to be difficult. You're not going to have to force it. God will make it happen. I believe that God was sending me. I said, Lord, and this is true of my prayer to the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't know if I'm supposed to go. Being honest, none of us can say we know God's perfect.
That's right.
But I said, but I want to go. I need to go because those people have faith and I had to cancel on them before because someone passed away and I couldn't go. And the funds weren't there and I just couldn't go. And I said, no, but this time I'm not going to wave the white flag. I'm not going to say that's it, that it's over. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say, Lord, if you have heart for me to go, if you have a desire for me to go, if you have a place for me to be there, then Lord, send me. If you want me to go, then the money will come in. And I'll leave it at that. But even if I have to buy a one-way ticket, then I will go. I will just buy the ticket and believe. That hour, Pastor Charlie called me. They had the money for my money for the one-way ticket. And I bought my ticket. Because you had to wait for it to process and everything. I had to go a couple of days late. So I couldn't make one conference. But I told him I'm going October, which I'm going there in October. And we got the ticket. And we bought into that plane, the plane from hell that was going down. But we got there, praise the Lord. And it's like, angels, pull up. So by faith, I went there. But let me tell you, when you start activating faith, when you start raising faith, but also activating faith around you, I look at the signs of what's happening. I look at, okay, I brought $1,000 in. Praise God. But then I got a call that same, or an email that same day, not coincidence, that one of my big vendors reduced my bill by $1,000. And so that there's another $1,000 on the table. Yeah. And I get that money in a couple of days. I'm like, okay, now I can pay this and pay that. I can see things weren't working. Then, guess what? Ready, purpose my mind to buy the tickets. $500 comes in for one of my donors. Then another $300, then another $100. So before I left, I got already raised enough money for me to get there. With that money, I was able, this is how God does it. I was able to pay for every flight that I needed inside Argentina. I was able to pay for every hotel, except for the last one, because I didn't know how to pay for it. I paid for all my hotels. And when I got there, I started making pesos. Do you know how many pesos I made? I made 1,000,000 pesos. Do you know how much they're worth? Not much. 1,000,000 pesos. And you think, oh, honey, we're going to buy the mansion. No. No. You can buy a hotel room. That's about it. But I was able to use those pesos, $400,000, to pay for my hotel in Tucumán. I'll tell you about Tucumán in a minute. Another $300,000 to pay for my translator. He had to go with me. And the guy that organized it didn't tell me he had no money for the translator. I'm paying for the translator's food. I'm paying for the translator's hotels. I'm paying for the translator's bus tickets. I'm paying for the translator's airplane tickets. So I'm paying for all these things. So that money starts to go real quick. But God bless it. God bless it. So I was blessed coming, going, and I was blessed when I was in there. Isn't that what the Word of God says? Doesn't the Word of God says you're blessed coming in and you're blessed going out? So that is what that's what God did. And it's amazing to see how he did that. Now, when I was praying, that happened with that child being healed. It was so amazing. Then we did another place. We did what called Fufui. And oh my gosh, I found out social media can get you in so much trouble. Yeah. I posted I was staying over this chicken place, right? And they didn't have a hotel. They had a room over a chicken place that sells chicken, live chickens. I mean, not live, but little, their quarter, leg quarter, drumsticks, all that stuff. And I'm over there playing, just playing around, being the investigator. And I'm not going to mention it because I'm going to get him in trouble again. But I've taken pictures of this pallet of chicken that's just outside. I've been there for 6 hours, and the chicken is still outside, and not in the freezer, not in the fridge. I'm like, I'm reporting all this. And then I'm playing around, take pictures of the place. I end up tagging their place. Well, the night when I preached, the second night I preached, I was leaving out there. I had to go wash up real quick at the restroom, and then check my beautiful hair. And then they had the window open, and the window open was for downstairs from the warehouse. It wasn't like outside the room, fresh air. And it's some chemical stuff. I was sneezing. I sneezed like 10 times. I was like, oh Lord. I was like, am I getting a cold or whatever? I think I was allergic because I kept sneezing. I had to be something allergic. So anyway, I took an allergy pill and went to go preach. Well, the allergy pill hadn't kicked in yet. I'm going up there to preach, and my nose is bothering me again. Then I was like, I apologize. I took an allergy pill. I'm staying over the chicken place. I don't know what they're doing. The window's up open, and some chemicals came in. And I don't know what they're doing with the chicken. Don't buy the chicken, is what I said, right? The owners of the chicken place were sitting right there. Oh. Where Sailor's at.
Oh, no.
I was so embarrassed. But then I forgot about what I posted. And they told me that the chicken lady said, you know, that was the people that were in the audience. I'm like, and everybody that came up after prayer for them, don't buy the chicken. They kept doing that. Yeah, it's like playing around and stuff. Like, oh, my God. Yeah, anyway. There, we got to another city. After that, we went to another church and preached. We got to another city. Let me tell you what happened.
The chicken people.
The chicken. No. The chicken people were raided by the police the next day.
Oh, no.
And the food administration, because I tagged them. And somebody in the city council found it. Send it up the chain of command so quick, they had 18, 20 officers raid the chicken place. I felt so bad. So, and the worst thing, they gave me a nice gift. The chicken lady gave me a gift. The pastor came to the third service. Said, hey, here's for the chicken lady. The big old envelope. I'm like, oh, wow. She said, stop talking about her chicken. I go, no. He goes, I'm just playing. I just wanted to bless you. So I had a blessing from her. They put me in a nice house. All I did was insult them and get them raided. So I feel bad. I feel completely bad about that. But El Pollo Coquito, we love you. And we know you have fresh chicken. We love you. But Yeah, I did like 3 commercials for them already and sent them online, so they feel happy. I was like, if you're thinking about chicken, think of Pollo Pizza. But so, you know, we went there and we seen some healings and some miracles there. One young girl had something different happen, and it happened in La Jita, but it continued to happen. A different thing happened in Jujuy, and in La Jita, get this, when I'm praying for people, and see, when you keep doing this and keep doing what I do, things start to change. God changes, adds things or opens things. I don't want to say like dimensions or whatever that. No, I just believe that things just become different. The Holy Spirit just shows you more ways to heal and see people and to see how to get them to their healing. Because Jesus is one that heals. So I'm praying in La Jita. All of a sudden I feel my muscle just do that. I go, who has an arm problem right here? Right arm, right here. This man jumps up. I go, you're healed. And he falls down the ground, comes up, has no more problem. And then I'm over there, and I'm like, okay. I feel my neck doing this, just pulling up like that. It's pulling up like that. I'm like, no one's messing. I'm like, making sure, who's messing with me? No, no one's messing with me. Someone has a problem. This was new. I'm not going to lie. This is new. And I said, someone's having a neck problem. Lace right there. Just stands up, like 3 rows back, stands up. She goes, come over here. And I come over there, I put my hand on her neck. It snapped. Wow. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to let go because I think I just killed her. Oh, no. I let go and she's like, go do that. And she was fine, healed. Oh. And then it was my leg and then it went going on everywhere, all over my body. Then there was the last person. And they go, she just came in for prayer. I go, come here. So I was over there. She's actually someone in the line coming to me. And then my shirt went like this. I can see my shirt moving. I go, well, that only does that for my wife. But so Chess, don't you start laughing. They got water in the fridge in the back of the people. All right, so it's like, I go, is there something wrong with your heart? And she goes, I need heart surgery, with the translator. I said, oh, God's going to take care of it right now. So I put the handkerchief over someone's hand, a lady's hand over her chest, and I just held that there.
Yes, amen.
And I go, we're going to wait. Till you tell me you feel it, we're going to wait. And she just screamed, and she hit the ground. She said she felt heat coming to her heart and just flow through all her, like flow through every part of her heart on both top and the bottom of it. I said, amen. So she got healed. So that was something new.
Yeah.
Now, in Jujuy, in the middle service, second service, I was standing there. And they're like, someone up here in the praise and worship, he's prayer. And, you know, I always ask for the praise and worship because they're always working. And sometimes, and you've seen me, I ask, do you need prayer? Because we just finished and you've been doing everything. And most of them come up. And she goes, yes, I need prayer. Come here. So when she was walking to me on my ankle, the white shirt, I felt like this ring of fire on my ankle, just a ring of fire. And I'm like, well, that feels good. Well, that's about, maybe I need something. And then I was coming towards her, and then, you know, when you pray for people, especially in places like that, missions, you get pulled left and right. People want to pray. And some lady just jumped in front, and the same lady kept bugging me. I kept praying for her. I'm like, you know, you either get it or you don't get it. You know, that I'm not very patient. You either get it or you don't get it. I go, I'll pray for you one more time. And then that fire left. But then I walked up to the young lady, and I said, what do you need? And I go, wait, before you say a word, is there something wrong with your ankle? Right? She started crying. Both my ankles are broke.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, what? I go, let me guess. The pain is in the left the most. Yes. I'm like, wow, Lord, what are you doing? This is so cool. It's like, okay, cool. So I said, just sit down. And I just held her feet and prayed. And I could feel God touched him. And I'm not the type of preacher that has to feel everything or say like, oh, I feel God. Oh, no. I just, it's done. I believe God is here.
Amen.
I believe the Spirit of God goes to and fro. Everywhere, each seat, each person goes right through. Because the Bible says the Spirit of God goes to and fro, searching the hearts of men. Searching the hearts of men. Is he going to find faith there?
Yes.
Because this is where faith begins.
Yes.
Not here. This is where your faith begins, in your heart, if you really believe. So all those people were getting healed, and I had held her feet and put them down. And I said, okay, get up. And she gets up, and I go, I just do this, a little pressure. And little pressure like that. And then she's crying. I'm like, oh my God, she's crying like she's in pain. I'm like, what did I do? And so I'm like, are you okay? are you in pain? And she's like, she goes, I'm healed. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Thank you to all my friends and partners that sent me to Argentina. And don't think whatever gift you give was little or whatever. It, every dollar went to pay, I mean, to the dollar, paid every hotel, every cab fare, every type of drive, everything we had to do. And I tell you what, it's giving me more boldness. I believe I had to go through this because even the day that I need to buy my ticket, I'm looking at my account. I'm like, I only got $560. I need $800 to buy the ticket. I'm like, man, I need to buy because the ticket prices were going up. I go, I'll buy the one way. I don't mind going to get in the morning. I was fighting not going in the morning at 6:30 in the morning to the airport because that literally means you have to be there at 3 in the morning. That means I have to have 2 hours sleep. I was like, it's the last leg. I'll do it. And I was like, wait a minute. I have another bank that all the Zelle payments goes in. So I checked their bank. Oh, to the dollar. I'm talking $1 more is all I had in my bank. I pay for the flight. Now, I'm not telling everyone to do what I do. And my wife doesn't like how I do this as well. But I'm telling you this. Faith. Faith requires action. And if you're not willing to do the action, or if you're afraid to do the action, you're not going to get where you need to be. Miles Monroe told me this, and I know I shared it before, and I'm maybe not here, but I shared this before several places. I had him for an interview. And of course, I studied him, and I went to go to his service. He just preached at the first black college in, I think we're in Tennessee. I think that's where we're at. So I had him on an interview, and I told him, you talk about faith a lot, Dr. Miles. You talk about, you know, a lot of other things and hope and everything, and those are great. But what I want to know, where does courage? Where does courage play in all this? Because he goes, because that's something that I just in my spirit. And he just looked at me, gave me a nice compliment. He goes, I've been to everywhere, and I've been interviewed by many, many people, but you have raised the spirit in me. Yeah. I was like, amen. He goes, courage. Courage is the most important element of faith. Because we can have faith that God's going to do something. We can have faith that God's going to move mountains. But now it's time to have that courage to make that first step. And believe. And when you make that first step in courage, that is true faith happening. So going to these places, the way I do, and the way I have been in the last year has been like this. It's because God is developing faith. Bigger faith for bigger things, and you have to be willing to go through that. I think it's important for everyone that does mission trips or travels like that need to understand that it's not always going to be fun. It's not always going to be nice. This last trip, I preached in Lajitas, beautiful service, beautiful testimonies, but guess what? I get back to my hotel at 2 in the morning. I have to be ready to leave by 5:30 in the morning. So no sleep. We go 3 hours, and then I got to catch a bus later. They didn't tell me what bus we're catching, like a few hours later. So I don't even have a place to rest. So I have my favorite hotel in Salta. I went and just told my driver to take me there, went there, paid for a hotel for me. He lives there. And so my translator, not my driver, he lives there. So he went to his house. We had a little bit of a meal, and I went back to the hotel and I slept for like an hour. And I went to go shop and go eat. so then we went, you know, so it's not all great. When I finished preaching in Jujuy, I had to leave again at 6 in the morning. I didn't, by the time you pack everything, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. So you get 2-3 hours sleep if you can get that. Plus shower, sleep, and then out the door, make sure you don't forget anything. And then you got to go for a 2-hour drive to meet another car and then take another 3-hour drive. So it's not all. It sounds nice. It looks nice. You know, it looks great. But there's a lot of effort that you have to have in faith. But you know what? I thank God for the military training. I thank God that in the military, it was the same. So my body's condition. Of course, I'm 53. My birthday was last week. Happy birthday to me. Thank you. Thank you. Anyway, yeah. Yes, you can visit our website. Any birthday gifts. No, I'm playing. But God knew when he put me in the military, I was going to go through days like this. And I had to believe, conditioned. And I thank God for that. Let me tell you, we get to Tucumán, and it was worth it. All this tiring was worth it. And then my hotel was supposed to be paid in Tucumán. But some kind of communication with my guy that organized this, he said, no, don't buy it. He bought it. Then the pastor, he texted me, did you get your hotel? And I'm like, great. I don't even have a place to stay. And I go, he goes, we have this, we have that, we have Hilton, we have Sheraton. I go, give me the Hilton or the Sheraton. I'd rather do Sheraton because I'm a member up there and I can get free meals and stuff if I'm there. All my laundry done, simple, less cost. But he put me in the Hilton, which was fine for Hilton Gardens. That was good. Then I found out that I have to pay the bill because I thought the pastor cared, but they didn't take care of my night because they just organized it. And then they were trying to get me to move from my hotel to another hotel because they said it's cheaper. I go, oh, no, you got to pry me off this bed. It's got all the comforts, though. I got my food down there. I got room service, laundry. So I actually sent clothes to laundry and stuff so I can leave. I have to wait for them to bring it back. And they brought it back in an hour. I'm like, darn. But anyway, I had the workout gym. And that was fine. So finally I said, Pastor, I don't want this to be a hedge. You know, I don't want this to be something that's between us that we can't go on to do God's work because we're worried about a crazy hotel bill. I'll pay the hotel bill. I had no money. I'll pay the hotel bill. Don't worry. I'll make enough money. I'll go, I have enough money. I'll make one call. I'll get the hotel money, and I'll be fine. I will be fine. Don't worry. So just waited. Money came in. Ready to pay my hotel. But let me tell you about Tucumán. So amazing. Imagine a place where there's 1,800 people waiting. Wow. In your first service. And it was a Friday night. And it's a small crowd. You're going to have 3,000 people on Sunday. So, and it's two different, same church, but two different groups. They have this kind of, one group only comes on Fridays. The other group on Sundays because the church is so big. Then in the middle, you go to his son's church, which literally was his son. I didn't realize that until I seen his last name because everybody calls everybody sons and daughters in faith. And then he said, hey, same last name. So, oh, that's your dad. Okay. So anyway, he had a church for 1,200 people. Amazing. Amazing. The first night in Tucumán, the very first night in Tucumán, you know how we do the flat feet? They all got healed. And everybody, that's the first place I've been to where they were just shocked. They were like, oh my God. They were like, wow. Remember last healing service, I talked about how God wows us. Yes. And this time, it was just, they're so amazed to see that. And then I would tell them, hey, see how God just gave them arches, all flat feet arches. Oh, isn't that awesome? Let's do the backs. Do you know we had over 400 people with back problems? Biggest back problem line I've ever had. We had three lines, 60 in each line. And they all do the little aerobics that I do, bend over three times, and then do this and do that, and then God heals them. And I don't know, I think God has me do it that way so it can take their mind off their pain. And just they're doing an act of faith by moving. And even the little lady that was screaming, ah, she still got healed because she moved by faith. Now, get this. There's no way, because in that beautiful place that I'm at, there's no way that they will... that I could pray for all 1,800 people by hand because they gave me an hour and 15 minutes to preach and to pray for people. So I said, okay, I'll preach for 25, 30 minutes. And that's actually 15 minutes because you're using a translator. And then I'll pray for whatever remaining time. And I looked at my watch. And I said, I'll get it done, Pastor. Don't you worry. He's like, okay. Because the reason being is because television, radio spots, and then internet, of course, they can keep running. But then they have buses. Everybody takes a bus. Argentina runs by bus system. Everybody goes home by buses. So you have to honor that. You have to respect that they got to get to a bus. No matter how much anointing you want to give them, you can only give them up to an hour and 15 minutes of it. So that was fine. So I went ahead. We did the people with the feet problems. We went over there. And I said, everybody with back problems. We did three lines of 60. But then I said, anyone else, just come in the middle of the row. We'll get ready for you. Then I looked to the middle of the row. A church, I don't know if you've seen the pictures online, was so big. And it went all the way long, way in the back. There was 300 people in that line. And I had 200 people in front of me. And I said, okay, look, you do the best you can do what we're doing where you're at in this line. And everybody's for backs. They all pick up their hands. Okay. We did the three movements, you know, up and back, down, did all this. And I said, only pick up your hands if you're healed. Everybody in the three lines picked up their hands if they were healed. They got healed. And I go, okay, down the middle. Only pick up your hands if God healed you. Everybody in that line picked up their hands if they were his. God healed them all the way down. And I said, oh, Lord, I got an idea. I'm going to save it for the next day. And so then we prayed for as many people that came forward. I looked at the time and I said, okay, Pastor, I'll take care of it. We knocked out maybe 18 rows in 20 minutes. Healed, healed, healed. Just running down, running down, going back, running down. And had a little young lady with me that was doing the stomach thing. We put the hands, and I use this one all the time. They put the hands on the stomach, and then got heals. And because I just, a lot of the stress that a lot of women will go through is in the gut. And a lot of times we're praying for them. They're not, they're like fighting it, not pushing back, but just fighting the prayer. But then you put the hand on the gut, and it just breaks through. That's something I've learned over the years. And so, and this chick is running right beside me, running right beside me. I turn around, she's right there. She kept up with me until a demonic person attacked her. Now it's like, oh, sweet Jesus. There goes my little help. There's the skinny little girl. So finally, I'm like, she's like swinging. This woman was aggressive. She's swinging left and right at her. I'm like, I kept blocking for her. And then finally, I just got the young girl, put her behind me. And I just get behind me. I mean, look at me. I'm a big target. And then, so I'm fighting. I don't know if you ever seen that show, Cruella.
Yes.
Disney. Remember when they tackle everybody? That's exactly what they did to this lady. The ushers, whoo, four women had her on the floor. Two of them pinning her hand, two of them pinning her foot, and she's manifested, and the pastor's like, I got this. I'm like, good. I kept going and praying for you. Crazy, but it's funny. Like, you just see left, right, left. Wow, just like the movie. But we prayed for people, and then we went to the next place, and that was Tecumán, but it was up in the upper part of Tecumán. It's like about a 40-minute drive to get there. And we preached and we prayed, and it was charged. That place was lit up. They were just ready for the service. It's easy to do miracles when people believe. It's easy. But the highlight in that place was not only all the miracles that were happening, people getting healed left and right, but this lady was in the back line. And I remember her. I said, bend down. She's like this. Bend down. And she told the translator, I'm already bent down. I've been bent down over for all my life. I like, no more. And she just threw her stick on the floor, her cane. She goes, fine. And she's like, bending over. She got mad. But guess what? God healed her. But let me tell you this. She was hunchback. You know? And then she had pain in her back, pain in her knees. But the thing is, she's been with that cane since 1992.
Wow.
1992. You do the math. I don't need to.
Wow.
1992. Over 30 years. Over 30 years. And she's been in pain. And get this. I posted it for people to come today to service. I posted the video of her standing there with the pastor. He's holding her cane. And they're playing music, and this woman is just dancing. It's not even Christian music, I'm telling you. It's like salsa. And this chick is just, she's wiggling, jumping around. She goes, I couldn't do this since 1992. What did I tell you at the beginning? We're raising faith. We're raising faith. When you preach, you don't know who's in there that can grasp it. But you keep putting out there. Jesus didn't know who was going to get the miracles, who was going to believe, but he knew a lot of them in there. We're just there for the bread. A lot of them there were just there to receive something physically. And he was there to show them that he is God. He is God. And a lot of the services, I would start off with just saying, God is God. God is God. God is God. Because you got to set the tone. You got to get them ready. I said, he's going to do miracles tonight? Yes. He's going to heal people? Yes. But we need to know one thing, that he is God. And I would always tell with God is good and stuff like that. But then I would get into that, and I would exhort them to understand he's the Almighty.
That's right.
He is the power behind all these miracles. He is the power that redeems and saves. So that was amazing in that place over there where the lady says, 1992. Imagine that long having to walk like this. Now she's dancing and walking like that. Oh, man, that's worth the trip. That's worth the missed sleep. That's worth the almost crash. That's worth trying to get there. But now, Tucumán, the main service, Sunday, and they have me upstairs. They say, we don't want you down till you got to come up on the platform, which I love that. Most pastors want to sit me there and listen to everything and hear all the announcements. And I don't need a pillow. I just need to lay down on my head a little bit. So they told me what I need. I just laid on this nice, comfortable sofa. Just wake me up 10 minutes before I go wash up, go to the restroom, make sure my hair is good. All right, let's go. And it's like, you don't need to pray or anything? No, I did that all back in Houston. I shouldn't get on the plane if I didn't pray.
That's
so
right.
Then I went, and they took me to the stage. And when I went on the stage, oh my gosh, 2,800 people.
Wow.
2,800 people just looking and screaming and stuff. And did a God is good, but then I went to God is God.
Yes,
and it just changed the tone. It just moved things. And when we preached, the pastor asked if he could do all the altar calls. And I said, that's fine. We had, I think, 100 or something that first night. And then that night, before service, we had over 500 people give their hearts to Jesus. And that's, they brought me out there to see that part that they're calling them and say, who have never been here before, who knows about Christ. And they preach a little, and then they gave their hearts to Jesus before. He goes, we want to give you all the time to do whatever God tells you to do. Do you know the first night, it was on radio, right? 300 people called in that they were healed. 100 people.
Wow.
300
God.
People wow. called in. One lady was paralyzed.
Oh my goodness.
Paralyzed. She hears the message, and her son goes to the house, sees an empty wheelchair, calls, Mom, where are you at? I'm downstairs. Where? At the bodega, the shops. You know, she's at the shops. He says, what are you doing there? She goes, I've been in a wheelchair for 20 years. First thing I'm going to do is go shop and get me something to eat. And she has a picture. Pastor asked her, why are you at a restaurant? She's like at the mall, and it's like the food court. She's dancing around, and she tells the pastor, and the pastor called her back and said, you know, so they're doing a video call. She says, why are you at the store? That's what she tells him. I've been in that wheelchair forever. I'm gonna go shop. Paralyzed.
Wow.
But
Jesus.
When you raise faith, when you get them to believe, and the sermon I preach mainly out there, and it wasn't the main ones I normally use. I preached the sermon I preached here last healing service about Jesus talking to the nobleman and about Jesus saying, believe. And he believed. And I just taught simple principles. And, oh, God was healing so much. That was an amazing testimony, that lady getting healed on the radio. We have a video of her doing that. It's on the screen, on the big screen. We videotape the big screen. But get this. We did the flat feet. So I'm going to the flat feet. So this chair right here. Say there's a little boy sitting on there. This man is sitting here with a little boy. And I have to always ask. It's just a habit. Flat feet, flat feet, flat feet. And they go, yes, yes. Because people tend to just sit in there. Mexico, anyone comes sitting there. They don't have no flat feet. They just want to get prayed for. Even if you tell them to go sit down, they won't go. So it's like crazy. But I go up to him. I said, flat feet? They go, yes, he has flat feet. But he has leg problems too. I mean, he has leg problems. I looked at his feet. Now, he said he had flat feet, right? Here he had his arches. And almost 100% of the time, I'd say 99% of the time, I'm just talking about God healing flat feet, but I have everybody sitting down. And as I'm talking, feet are being healed, feet are being healed, feet are being healed, feet are being healed. So when I come back, all I do is I'm like the sportscaster. What do we have here? Flat feet. I go next one, next one, next one. And everybody knows these people, and they know that they have flat feet. It's a home church, you know, they know it. And they're all excited about that. So this little boy, and I would say he's about, I don't know how the age that is, but that's how, I like that. And he was sitting on his dad's lap, and I said, well, okay, so what kind of problems does he have? You said he has a little leg problems, and the translator's like, oh yeah, can't walk. What? He goes, can't walk. Can't walk? He goes, no. Well, that's a big problem, sir. It's not his other problem. That's a very big problem, but that's no problem. We have a big God. We have a big God. So I said, well, let's just go for a walk. Come on. Do you know what? One of the first times, and I'll be honest, one of the first times, I just believed. I didn't think, let me pray. I didn't say, oh, God, please do this.
Right,
no.
Amen.
Oh, God, they really need a healing. No, God has empowered me and you to pray for the sick and see them recover.
Right.
To see those that are lame to be healed. Those that are blind to be healed. And we got to believe that God has called us. And I just believed it. I believed it. I said, come on, let's go for a walk. And his dad's like, what? Give me your kid. I grab the kid by the arm. And I take him out. And his legs are like this. Like, you know, let me get the camera. Like this. It's just way bow-legged, but turn in. And I was like, hey, well, that's not how you're supposed to walk. I shook him like a sheet. I went, his little legs and his body. Did that thing like you would do maybe like a pillowcase, like that. I did that, and then he landed. Guess what? Straight. He landed straight. I said, come on, let's go walking. And he's following behind me, slow, and then I'll say he got a little rhythm going, and we're walking, I go faster. And then I did this on purpose. I'll walk towards the exit on purpose. Come on, let's go. He stopped, and he runs back to dad.
Oh, wow.
They always run back. They always do. They usually run back to mom. They don't want to go off with a strange man. Good,
that's
train
right.
your kid good.
That's
right. Healed right there.
Yes,
healed. Those are beautiful miracles.
Yes, amen.
Those are wonderful miracles. And then we did the backs, but this is what I said. Pastor, last night, the other night I noticed something. I'm going to do something different. I went over this with them at lunch. And I think it's important that you communicate with your host what you're going to do in service, what you're going to need. Because I do things different than other ministers do. And but I do some things similar. So I said, this is what we're going to do. This is how we do it. When we get to this point, I'm just going to have everybody stand that has back problems in the whole place. Then I'm just going to pick maybe 100 people. Hand pick them. Point real quick. I need your ushers to bring only those people to the front. And that's it. And everybody else stay where they're at. I need that to be translated strong. I want them to know they stay where they're at. So we did that. I was like, okay, who has back problems? And then everybody jumped up. Many back problems healed on Friday. I'm sure you all heard. I said, okay, this little group here, that group over there, and this group right here. Y'all come forward. Never did that before. We put the line out, 100. I go, look, God's going to heal these people. But I want everybody out there that has back problems, stay standing. Do everything we do right where you're at. Right where you're standing, just do that. Stay where your seat is, stand there. And God's going to heal you. Do the exact thing we're doing. And I prayed, did the normal thing I would normally do, touch everybody's back, go back up after they've done it three times, bending over three times, went to the stage. I said, all right, from here to here, pick up your hands if you're here. All 100 healed. I said, amen. Then I looked at the crowd. I mean, you're talking 2,800 people. You're talking, I'm telling you, I am not kidding you, I'm going to tell you, over 1,000 people were standing. And I said, there's a lot of back. Okay, only pick up your hand if God healed you. Everybody's hands went up. And you know that you have no more back problems. And they have their hands in the air. Oh, God is good.
Amen.
But God is God.
That's right.
God is God. And he's able to heal anyone that needs healing for anything and everything. That's a believer right now. Everything you need. Healed. Jesus, no more heart problems. Oh, no more. No more. In Jesus' name. No more anxiety. God. In Jesus' name. And my friend, I know she's going through something. We're believing they're done.
Yes.
And it's so beautiful to see that. So I seen that happen. So if God did that for backs, what do you do that for everything else? So I went to the stage. I got up on the stage again. And I said, all right, let's praise God for that. But he's not finished. Did anyone do anything but receive? People with flat feet received. The people with back problems received. Did anyone do anything? No. We didn't pray for them, lay hands on them much. We just believed God healed them. So I want those to stand who have cancer. I want those to stand who have tumors. I want those who have throat problems, who have any problems with their arms, any problems with their heart. I want you to stand. In fact, if you have anything wrong with you, I want you to stand right now. Oh my gosh, 2,000 people easily standing. Some of the back people up again for other things. And I said, Father, we're going to believe right now. I'm going to just say one prayer and God's going to heal you. I let him do that prayer that I always pray. A little short prayer. And I said, be healed now. People falling and their chairs back, some falling forward. It was beautiful just to see God touching them. Then I waited a few minutes, and the band was playing. I told the band to stop. I called the band, musicians. And I said, it's a band. And I went over there and I said, okay, only if you felt God touch you, or you know you're healed because you feel something different and you don't feel a pain anymore, I want you to stand up with your hands up. Put two hands up, and everybody, as far as you can see, everyone was healed. So beautiful. So beautiful to see God move and to see God just change people's lives instantly. So, yeah, and I'm going back in October. And there's some places I didn't get to go to. I was in one region. I need to go to another region. So, I'm in the north. I need to go to the south now. And I'm covering as much as Argentina. But I'm ready to believe in God. To pay for my ticket, I'm believing God for United on the football. But then I also believe in the star. I'm starting to pay and organize. And I was on the phone organizing the trip, talk to the people that I couldn't make it before. So I promised I was going to come back. The pastor said, I'm going to believe you're coming. We're going to go ahead. I'm going to believe you're coming. Man, I'm not getting to that kind of announcement. No. Yeah. Anyway, I show up when I show up. No. But he said, okay, we're going to announce it. We're going to let people know. We're going to create an invitation for you. These are the 2 dates that we have. I go, okay, Pastor, and let me know what hotels are in the area so I can get it. He goes, no, we got your hotel. I'm like, okay, well, I like to stay nice. We'll get you a nice one. Don't you worry, but that's the least we can do. You're traveling to us. So I'm buying my ticket to go there, like 263, I think. So I'm gonna buy it early, even before I got my main ticket, buy all the small flights, pay for all my little hotels, so then I just gotta get the big flight. And God will do it. But what I'm saying is God is doing good things.
Yes, amen.
Wherever we go, I got an invitation to Sri Lanka. They, of course, oh, please come be with us for 2 weeks. I'm like, no, I cannot be there for 2 weeks. I can be there for 4 or 5 days, and then I'm gonna go up to Maldives, and that's a very nice resort area, but there's a lot of people that never leave that island that need Jesus, so we're gonna be preaching to them. I'll have to stay in a nice resort. I've sent Irene a picture. Wish you were here, baby. And there, you got your passport. Maybe go to Maldives. It's nice. Very nice. Yeah, but the first part, not so great. Sri Lanka. But I was staying in Colombo with Mexico. But so God is opening up doors to go more further. Lord, I want to encourage, if you receive anything from what we spoke about tonight, believe God. Believe God sent you. Believe God will provide for you. And believe God will do what he said he will do in the Bible.
That's right.
That he is the healer. He is the miracle. He is the one that does all the things that we need in faith. And I believe that that seeing those, and I'm going to be honest, seeing those, all my healing journals, it's just a habit. Seeing all the people healed from the stage. I mean, honestly, it's like a childhood dream. Honestly, I've always known I'm going to be doing this. I grew up watching all the greats and doing this before, and just seeing them healed.
Amen.
I'm like, Lord, I was humble. Oh, but my translator, I found someone darker than me in Argentina. Is my translator. I'm the darkest thing in Argentina. Everybody's so light. They're in your color. So it's like, I'm like, oh, you're darker than me. I love you even more. So anyway, every time after service, his mind would be blown. He's like high-fiving and everything. And he goes, you're not so excited. I gave him a hug. I go, yeah, high five. I gave him a hug. I go, yeah, but it's not me. I mean, I understand your excitement, and trust me, I'm excited God did this, but I have to remain humble.
That's right.
It's not me. I go, and so he started noticing, and he goes, he sees me. I mean, I still get people's water. I help the pastor. The pastor needs some pastor. No, I still got it here. And it's like, because I don't need people serving me. I mean, it's like, I can, you got to stay humble when you do this kind of work. And you got to, and I'm not trying to say, I'm just saying that when God starts using you, things start changing. You can notice things change in your life, and healings happen, miracles happen. Whatever God's called you to do, stay humble. Because if you stay humble, and remember the word says that we must, humble ourselves so God can grow and grow in our life and grow in our ministry. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you right now. We thank you for the testimonies, the word of God, Father, that was preached, Lord. We thank you, Father, that those that are watching right now, we're believing for their miracle, Lord. If you have cancer, put your hand wherever the cancer is at if you can. If you have anything with your thyroid, if you have any lung problems, heart problems, just put your hand there. We're going to just do a quick prayer. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Now you substitute if you're a man or a woman, okay? If you have a son or a daughter. Say, Lord, I love you. I'm your son. And I came for my healing that you promised me in the word of God. In the book of Exodus, you say, you're the Lord my healer. And I've received that healing. Thank you, Jesus, for healing me. Amen. Right now, every sickness gone. In Jesus' name. Now, if God can heal on the radio to people in Argentina through a translator, surely God can heal you on the internet. However you're watching this, God is healing you right now. In Jesus' name, be healed. If you have a testimony, be sure to visit us at davidyanisministries.com. We have a contact form. Let us know what's going on. God bless. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
Man, wonderful.
I hope you are blessed.
Yes, amen.
I think we just need